Take your Bibles. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, we're going to look at one verse here. Keep your Bibles open because we are going to use them tonight. Proverbs chapter 22, we're going to look at verse number 6 together, and you follow along. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we have been studying on the topic of wisdom. You didn't know where it's at. That's okay. I can keep going. Don't worry about it. I'll stay right here. I can scream and holler if I need to. Amen. But we've been studying on wisdom for many weeks. Wisdom is the ability to see life as God sees it. Looking at life through God's eyes or looking at life from God's perspective. Now, life, especially the Christian life, is easier when you see it from God's point of view. Folks, the older you get or the higher you move in leadership, the more you see why people above you used to say what they said to you. Say why? Because you get a different point of view. You get a different perspective. God wrote the Bible, amen, not man. I'm not afraid to say this. These words were penned before man was created. God gave the words to men in the situations they were in. But God wrote those words before the man was in that situation. God did not give the thoughts to man. God gave the words to man. These are the words of God, not the thoughts of God. When David was used to pen Psalm 51 after he had sinned with Bathsheba, David didn't write those words. God had written them before David ever sinned. But he gave them to David at that time because that's what David needed and that's what the world needed to survive. Okay, that's the difference. That's the difference between a Calvinist that believes, well, David said here or Paul said here. No, David didn't say it and Paul didn't say it. God said it. Now, he gave every word for a purpose. We need to never forget that man did not put his own style or words in the Bible. Well, we can prove that Paul wrote the book of Romans because this is in his style. No, it was God's words, not Paul's words. Well, Matthew's style, no, it's all God's words. Okay? Now, the principle that I'll teach you tonight is going to start appearing as though it's just for child rearing, but it is not. It can be applied to new Christians in trying to grow new Christians, new converts. It's applicable as parents. It's applicable in your business with lost people, just so you know. Many of you work around lost people, and some of you work over lost people, and I'm here to shout, The principle that I'll give you tonight, it will work with people that you work with at work. Now, I want you to notice here in Proverbs 22:6. Look at it with me. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. I want you to circle that word or underline that word. It does not say teach a child. The Bible says, train up a child. Now, it does not say educate up a child. God said train up a child. Humanism has become such a way of life that even religion, and I'm sorry to say that even Baptists and independent Baptists have sucked down the mentality of humanism. If education is the answer to everything, why is alcohol, drugs, immorality, and sodomy rampant on our college campuses today? If education is the answer, why do we need armed guards and police dogs and security systems in our public schools? Now, some of you are going to get mad at me, but if you'll listen to me, I'll change your life tonight. If we are an educated society, why are we so violent towards one another? If education is the answer to everything, which it is not, I looked online today. You can look. I checked three different sources on every statistic I'll use tonight. Over 80% of all college students in the United States of America drink alcohol. Folks, they're not even able to legally get it till they're seniors in college. Almost 2,000 alcohol-related deaths to college students happen in America annually. Over 2,000 college-age young people die due to alcohol every year in America. Now, hang on. The United States government wants to make it to where every car is mandated to have a backup cam because there's 12 children run over by cars backed over every year. What are we doing about alcohol? 12 deaths versus 2,000. Which one's more important? I'm not for any of them dying. Hang in there. Over 1.2 million injuries related to alcohol by college students happen annually. Add to this, 40% of all college students in America have taken or regularly take illegal drugs or abuse prescription drugs. 80% in alcohol, 40% in drugs. And we call that higher education. It's high, but it's not high like we think. Society says that education is the answer to all of man's problems. I'm here to tell you that's called humanism. God said training is the answer, not education. Notice Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me show you what I mean tonight. When your children were young, some very young, some a little older, the age is not the issue to me right now, but probably somewhere around 2 years old, you started to teach your child to get out of diapers. Do they call that potty teaching? No. They call it what? Potty training. Wow. You don't say, okay, Junior, that's a potty. This is what you do in that. So from here on out, this is what you're supposed to do. You don't tell them one time and, buddy, they passed the test. Amen. You say, boy, wouldn't it be nice if that was that easy? Yeah, it would be. Guess what? You don't teach them. You got to train them. You that went into the military, the first 16 weeks of military, they don't call it basic teaching. It's called basic what? Training. And you learn the basic fundamentals of what it takes to survive the rest of your career. And it's ingrained into you step by step. Now, teaching is simply the transfer of knowledge from one person to another. That's all teaching is. It is the transfer of what I know to what you do not know so that you now know what I know. That is called teaching or education. Now listen to me, this is where the rubber meets the road and where I separate with even many of my Baptist brethren. I am not a humanist in any shape of the word. Humanism means man becomes his own God, and we think because we get a little education under our belt, we know more than somebody, so we are more important than somebody else. Gag. A lot of people in Washington, D.C. that know a lot of things, but I don't want to follow what they are. The word train literally means this. Now, if you'll listen to this statement, I think I could help you. The word train is much deeper than the word teach. Train means to drag or to trail. It means to prune or to guide one's growth. Did you ever have a I won't say which one of my kids, but I had one of my children, when we cut their hair, we had to cut it and train it so that it would lay down. You had to cut it a certain way and keep cutting it the same way so that eventually it would lay down. Otherwise, it would go like that. Say, what is that? That's called training by cutting. Now, the word train means to ingrain until one becomes efficient or proficient. It means to make fit so that you can execute. It means to aim or focus on or to create a habit. Folks, listen to this statement. You are not to just teach your child, you're to train your child. I'm going to make a statement here. I've been involved in Christian education for an awfully long time. I have either been involved as teaching, as a student, or as an administrator in Christian education for the last 34 years of my life. Okay, that's a long time. That's longer than some of you younger parents. I've been teaching young people as long as you've been alive. Now listen to this statement. If one day we start a school here and you drop your children off and then you get mad at the school because they didn't teach your child everything, I'm going to make a statement here. That's your fault, not ours. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that the school is supposed to educate, do all the educating of your children. You are supposed to be the one training them. We've got this idea that whatever the school says goes. And that's not what God said. I don't care if it's Christian school, public school, heathen school, or Mormon school. I don't care what name you put with it. It's still going to be taught by sinners. You'll still have other sinners there. And guess what? They're going to get taught something you don't want them to learn. It's going to happen at Sunday school too, just so you know. And I hate to burst your bubble, but every once in a while, even your goody two-shoes kid's going to teach somebody else something they shouldn't know. Say, how do you know? I had three of them. Trust me. Now, wait a minute. Education means you give someone facts. Training means they not only know the facts, but they know how to use the facts, and they have proven that they can use those facts in any situation. I used to tell my staff, as I would teach my staff in schools and at college, is all you're doing is giving your students a toolbox, and each lesson is another tool you put in their box. It is your job to make sure they understand how to use. They've proven to you the ability to use that, and they have used that tool while you've been teaching it to them. Some of our quote-unquote higher education courses is all we do is teach them to take a test. We're not training our children. We're training computer minds that it's garbage in, garbage out, information in, information out. As long as you get the information on the piece of paper, then you are educated. And I hate to tell you something, that's not true. That's not training, that's just teaching. Now, if you'll listen to me, I'm going to teach a topic tonight called training to be wise. I'm going to use the word child. You could substitute it, employee. You could substitute it follower. You could substitute it new convert. You could substitute it anything you would like, maybe even husband. Number one, children need better eyes to be wise. Children need better eyes to be wise. Turn your Bible, Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to use our Bibles. I want to show you that these are God's words, not my words. I want to show you something here tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 7. Be not wise in thine own, what's the next word? Eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now look at me. We said wisdom is the ability to see life as God sees it or from God's eyes. God tells us here, don't be wise in your eyes. Can I tell you the hardest thing to break in a child? They're only looking at life through their eyes. Can I tell you some of the hardest things I deal with adults? Well, as I see it, I don't care how you see it, how does God see it? When you quit looking at it from how you see it and start looking at it from how God sees it, it's a totally different perspective. See, you need to teach followers, children, employees, that rules are for them to keep and keep them from doing wrong, because without those rules, they will do wrong. Did you know that if you did not have rules at work, you would do wrong? Did you know, young people, that if you did not have rules at school, you would do wrong? Did you know that if you did not have rules on the roads and the highways, that you would do wrong? We were driving to and from Ohio. I taught my daughter, set the cruise control and let it be. I couldn't tell you how many times we passed police officers. And every time we passed one, she may not even remember me saying this. I'd say, isn't it nice not to feel guilty and have to hit the brake? You'd see everybody with brakes. Here we go. Right by, tootle on by. Say why? We weren't breaking the law. As long as you're following the rules, you don't have to hit the brake. There's a lot of confidence in that. Yes, you're right. You ought to drive in Mexico once. Amen, Brother Stoltz? Whew. I took my mom and dad when I was in Southern California. We decided to go to the San Diego Zoo. Great. We went to the zoo. I said, look, we're only 7-8 miles from Tijuana. You guys want to go out of the country? This is before 911. Sure. I'd never driven into Tijuana before. Man, I over the border, tried to go around. All of a sudden, they're putting 5 lanes of traffic in 3 lanes, going every which way in every lane. It took me 3 hours to get out of 1 mile of Tijuana. It was the most God-awful thing. It's the only time in my life I heard my father say, I'm glad you're driving. You could literally, if you had your window down, you could touch the cars on either side of your car. I mean, that's how close you were going. And one's going this way with you, the other's going this way against you, and then there's another one trying to squeeze in over here in front of you. It was bad. I mean, it was real bad. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, there's no rules. Can I tell you what? I don't like driving in places where there's no rules. Bad enough around here. Now, wait a minute. Your children, your followers need brought up to see life from your eyes. You don't go down and view it at their level. Did you hear that, parents? We have too many parents that go down to a 2 or a 3 or a 4 or 5 year old level instead of bringing the 2 year old up to an adult level. Instead of bringing the 7 year old up to an adult level, we go down to their level. Now, I don't expect a 7 year old to respond like a 47 year old. I don't expect a 7 year old to understand what a 47 year old understands. Shoot, I don't expect 47 year olds to understand what 47 year olds are supposed to understand. But may I say this, the obedience should be there no matter how old they are. They need to start seeing, sometimes they need to do it and not worry about the why. Oh, I had a child, one of my children. I think for the first 15 years of the life, the only word they knew was why. I got so tired of that word, I started washing their mouth out with soap. I mean, I was tired of it. You say, it's not a bad word. It comes to a point where you have to understand God's principle is this: obedience brings understanding. Man wants understanding before he obeys. See, humanism says you understand it before you do it. That's what's wrong with these convention churches and these denominational churches. Well, you've got to have 8 weeks before you get baptized because we got to take you through a new converts class so that you understand everything before you do it. No, God said the same day they got baptized. See, humanism says you have to understand it all. You've heard me say, I've been preaching for a long time, 35 years. Can I tell you something? In 35 years, I still don't understand why you got to take all your clothes off, put a Smurf suit on, and get dunked in front of people. Other than God said, do it. You say, you're not real smart. Okay, you show me exactly why. Okay, it's to identify with Christ. Yes, it is. past that, why do we do it? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me when I look at it through my eyes. When I look at it from God's point of view, I understand it better. Now, hang in there. You need to bring people up to your level. Don't go down to their level. By the way, that's why this preacher's not hitting the pulpit casual. That's why I'm not going to take my tie off and put a sweater on and sit down on a chair and teach on Wednesday nights. Well, you'll look more like regular people that way. I don't need to look like you. I'm supposed to act and be the man of God. I have a position that's a little loftier. I must represent it. When Bill Clinton was in office and they showed him all the pictures of him jogging around in his shorts and everything else, nobody respected him. No wonder he turned the White House into a whorehouse. You didn't see President Reagan running in his shorts. So amazing. One was respected and one wasn't. Okay, moving on. Your followers, your children, your whatever level that is behind you, their vision is not what yours is. Or they would be the leader and you would be the follower. Parents, when your children get big enough to look you eyeball to eyeball, may I remind you of something? You're still supposed to be the leader. They're still supposed to still be the follower. They don't know as much as you know, though they might be as tall as you are. Or for you moms, they might be taller. You know, when I would teach in Bible college, I'd have young men, 18 years old, they knew how to solve all the world's problems. And I'm thinking, dude, you're as dumb as a box of rocks. You think you're hot snot, but you ain't. I won't say what you are, but you pick it and flick it, amen? And I'd look at him and I'd say, you know what? You may have been big man on campus at home, but guess what? You're a little guppy in a big ocean right here, dude. Time to back off. I'm talking to somebody who's been down the road a little longer. If you'll follow what we tell you, it's going to be okay. But I don't understand. I don't see it. I said, don't care what you see. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over again. A friend of mine texted me this week. They had a problem. I waited 24 hours and I said, I don't mean to be overbearing, but I think I know why you're having the problem you're having. And in a fairly lengthy text, not unbearable long, I described what their problem may be. They texted back and said, okay, that's really scary. I was just thinking that was the problem. And I said, well, I have faced it hundreds of times. I see the signs. They said, okay, what do you tell people in my situation? So I told them. And I'm talking, we're 300, 400, 500, 600 miles apart from one another right now. Can I tell you why? I've seen it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I didn't need to sit down and consult with them. Boy, that's good. Number two. So, number one, children or followers need better eyes to be wise. Number two, train them to work. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 5. And I am going to hurry because I have about 5 or 6 of these points. The rest of them won't be quite as long, I hope. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. He was also did not have the last name Bush because he wouldn't have been allowed to sleep in harvest. Amen. But train them to work. You know, young people, followers need to learn to work. Everybody look at me. Did you know that W-O-R-K is not a bad word? Work is a good word. So many times, parents, can I tell you something? Quit making work punishment for your children. Man, I used to take, from the time my boys could just about walk, they were about 3 or 4 years old, my mom would have a conniption. There's 2 bars on a lawnmower handle for a reason. One for dad, one for junior, amen? My mom said, I'm training them. Say why? Because when they're big enough to push that puppy themselves, I'm done pushing. When they get in trouble, I'd say, okay, you're not helping me mow. Man, they would rather take a paddling than not get to help me mow. Then they grew up and realized that ain't what it was all cracked up to be, amen? But for a while there, they thought punishment meant take work away. You don't get to go help me, but I want to. Nope, you don't get to help me. You're going to stay here. But nope, too late. You screwed up. You know, you need to teach young people that work is good. Hey, Dad, if you'd start enjoying your work, maybe your children would start enjoying work. Now, nobody enjoys every aspect of their job. But if all they hear is you complain about your job, no wonder your kids don't want to work. Man, is it getting quiet in here tonight. Mamas, daddies, listen to this statement. It is harder to train someone else to work than it is just to do it yourself. It is harder to train someone else to work than it is to do it yourself. But it's your job to train them to do it. Amen. Mommies, it's easier for you just to do the laundry. But every one of your children, boys and girls, need to learn how to do laundry. Period. I ain't washing no clothes. That's girls' work. Yeah, you wait till you get to college and you got to wash your own laundry. I met a couple yard birds like you. We taught them real fast. Say why? Because they'd go 3 and 4 months without washing clothes. Nobody wanted to be around them. Say, what'd you do? I won't tell you in public, but I can tell you in private. Amen? It is much easier for you to do the work as a boss than it is to train somebody else to do it under you. Everybody doing all right?
That's right.
Nobody said that being a parent was easy. You don't have children because it's fun and easy. If you did, somebody didn't train you right. But may I say this, if you'll train them when they're young, the older they get, the more enjoyable it is. It takes years to train. It takes a moment to teach. Everybody doing okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about. It takes weeks and sometimes months to potty train. Once they finally get it, you're thinking, phew, we got it. Yeah, and they got to spend the rest of their life doing it. Work ought to be the same way. Teach your children to save from their work and enjoy their work longer than just the time of doing it. My children, my dad did this with us. Man, we cut wood. We split wood. We burnt wood. Wood makes you warm 3 times. You say, no way. Oh, yeah, it does. It makes you warm when you go out and cut it in the middle of summer and it's 100 degrees out and you're dying from sweat. It makes you warm when you're stacking it and bringing it in the house, and then it makes you warm again when you burn it. But it also cut down on the electric bill, on the heat bill. I remember as a teenager, my dad bragging to people at church about how low the electric bill was. And he'd say, yeah, the boys and I, we cut wood all summer. Look how low my electric bill is. He'd say it loud enough for us to hear. And it took me a long time to figure out what he was saying, but one day it registered because I heard my dad tell, I think he was telling the preacher, said, yeah, my boys help me pay the bills. I thought, no, I don't. He said, what do you mean, Mel? He said, boys help me cut wood. He said, that's their part in keeping the electric bill down. I'm helping my dad pay the bills. I mean, I thought I was something.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I was. Some of you don't realize that. My boys did some hunting with me when they were younger teenagers and teenagers. If they'd kill a deer, my wife and daughter, they help us pack the meat, and they would put Josh or Jeff's name on all the packages of the deer that they shot. You know, about February, it's stone cold out. You haven't been hunting in 3 months. She'd pull out steaks, and she'd say, these are Jeff's steaks, or these are Josh's steaks. 3 months or 4 months after they shot a deer. You know, they enjoyed that steak better that night, knowing they had done it months and months and months ago, and they provided the meal that night. Say, what is that? Teaching them to save and enjoy from the labor that they put out. Some of you need to teach your kids to save some money. Teach them to tithe. Teach them to put some away, and then they spend the rest. I don't believe it's... I'm probably going to get in trouble when I say this, and you can get mad at me all you would like, but any parent that keeps all the money of a child needs some help. You need to teach a child. My children learned how to run a checkbook before they left my home. My daughter has a checkbook. She earns money, and she keeps her checkbook up. She balances her checkbook. She pays her tithes. She's got to be able to manage a checkbook. You say, why? Because in a year or so when she leaves and goes to Bible college, mommy and daddy are not going to balance her checkbook for her. I'm not going online to do her banking for her. That's her job, not my job. And she doesn't do it online. She does it in an actual checkbook. She does not have a check card. Her banking goes through my email account because she doesn't even have an email. Say, oh, how does she survive? She's doing quite okay. Quite okay. Say, you make her write checks? Yeah, because at least she's going to know how to run her finances. Boy, that's good stuff. I got to hurry up here. Number three, train your children and train your followers to receive correction. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. We have to hurry here. Proverbs chapter 23, I'm going to start reading in verse 13. Withhold not correction from a child, from the child. For thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Then thou shalt beat him with the rod, thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 1. A wise son heareth the father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now listen to me very carefully. And I want every mom and dad to listen to this statement, or future mom and dad to listen to this statement very, 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 very carefully. Let me restate that. God says you should spank your child. God put one place on their body to spank. And it's not to be done in anger. And I'm going to make this statement. Just because you can swat their backside doesn't mean you spanked them biblically. God says the wise parent waits until the child receives the correction. That doesn't mean they become a punching bag for the correction. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
They need to be able to willingly take it, or they did not receive it. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
They need to be willing to take it, or they did not receive it. In other words, until they're willing to stand there and receive their punishment, they have not yet been corrected. Brother Smith, pull that chair out here a little bit. I'm going to use you. I won't embarrass you, and I am not going to spank you tonight. Okay? Trust me. But at my house, when I, as a Christian school administrator, in the years you could do this, I would spank a child. And this is what I would tell them. In a minute, you're going to put your hands on each of the arms of that chair. You're going to bend over. You're going to get three swats. When I start, you're not allowed to take your hands off, you're not allowed to pick your feet up, and you're not allowed to hit the ground. At any time you do any of those, we're going to start back at number one. Doesn't matter what number we're on. Now, Brother Matt, do you understand that? Can you show me what I expect you to do here? Now, I'm going to stand right here. Show me what I expect you to do on that chair. And I am not going to touch you, I promise you. All right? But, so... you're going to put your hands there. No, grab it. Don't touch it. You got to put your hands all the way around. All right. Now, are you allowed to take your hands off?
No.
Sir?
No, sir.
Thank you. Are you allowed to pick your feet up?
No, sir.
No, sir. All right. What happens if you do?
Start again.
I start again. All right. Stand back up, and I won't squat. Then I'll pray with them. Then I say, Now, Brother Matt, this is what you did wrong. You did this, right? I didn't do it, did I? Mama didn't do it. Daddy didn't do it. Your teacher didn't do it. You did it, right? All right. Now, you bend over, grab that chair. What happens if you let go? Yes, sir. By the way, I'm staying right here. I make them bend over, and then I would start. If I got through number two, and their toes start wiggling, I'd say, keep your feet down, keep your feet down, grab that thing, grab that chair, don't do that, don't do that. And all of a sudden, one of them would just pull their feet up, and I'd say, oh, got to start over again. I'd say, I didn't do it, you did it. I'd wait till they got all three, or however many we said, thank you, you can push your chair back, and you may sit down, amen. Now, wait a minute, that's how I knew they were receiving their correction. When they were willing to receive it, and I always told them this. My daughter's mouth is going to finish the statement as I say it probably. Spanking will fix nothing. It's only a reminder for you not to do it again. Spanking your child will not fix the problem. It's only a reminder the next time they're about to do the same stupid thing, they shouldn't do it. That's all it's for. Everybody doing okay? Paddling somebody never fixes a problem. It prevents the next problem. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, they need to admit they're wrong. They need to admit their part in the wrong. And they need to admit they're willing to receive their correction. And everybody listen to me. I've got no respect for a man that'll lift his hand up and beat a child. None. By the way, I don't care if that child's as big as the dad. You have no business rearing your hand back in anger. That is abuse, and you should go to jail. You should face the police for that. Everybody catch that? I'm not afraid of that. Say, well, come on. Somebody treated you like that at work, you'd call the cops. What's the difference? Because it's inside the four walls of your house. That's a pretty chintzy way out. Boy, that's good stuff. All right, I better hurry up. I got two more to give in 6 minutes. You need to train them to talk less and listen more. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. This one's going to go over like a lead balloon. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse number 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is, what's the next word? Wise. Do you know, God says the more you talk, the more you're going to sin. More sin takes place over that than any other thing in the world. Telephone, social networking, internet. The more you communicate, the more you talk with nothing to say, the more trouble you will get in. I'm not saying that device is sinful. And if you have one of those, it's not sinful. I just don't understand why a 7-year-old needs a cell phone. I don't understand why a 15-year-old needs a cell phone. I really don't. Folks, we did okay in America when you had one phone in the kitchen and it had about a 10-foot curly Q cord on that thing and everybody heard every word you said. You gotten a whole lot less problems. Say why? Because everybody heard every conversation. Say, well, Mom and Dad didn't hear it. No, but your little brother or your big brother was hiding around the corner listening so he could tell Mom and Dad. And those of you that were my grandparents' age had the party lines and everybody in the neighborhood was listening to what you were saying. Amen? was watching some of you gray heads back there. I saw it, amen. You know, not every thought in your head is supposed to be said. Well, if you're going to think it, you might as well do it. That's a lie. You know how many people I've thought about killing, but I didn't do it? You know how many times I thought about pulling the trigger and killing that deer in the middle of summer, and I shouldn't have done it, and I didn't? Now, wait a minute. Just because you think it, it's not as bad as saying it. I don't know who said that, but they weren't very wise. By the way, small children need to be taught to refrain their lips. Now, I realize some chatter more than others. But those are the ones you're going to have to work at because they're going to get in trouble with their mouth. They need to be taught what they have to say isn't as important as what you have to say. Again, as a teacher, administrator, I'd say, hey, what you have to say doesn't mean as much as what I've got to say. You listen, I talk right now. I wasn't mean. They just need to know what I had to say. It didn't matter what they had to say at that moment. They'll learn to face less hardship if they learn to listen and not talk. They need trained to listen to their teachers. By the way, just because your child listens to you doesn't mean they're a good listener. I know kids that are so scared of their mom and dad, they listen to whatever they're told by their mom and dad, and they're an unholy terror to every other leadership in their life. And by the way, boys and girls, listen to me. If you'll obey the preacher and you'll disobey your mom and dad, you're not right with God and you're wrong. Everybody hear that? I'm helping you, mom and dad. I'm helping you. They need to learn to listen to their preacher. They need to learn to listen to the parents. They need to learn to listen to their teachers, their Sunday school teachers. And they need to learn to listen to all adult authority. Parents, give me 60 seconds. It may be the most important. Your children will grow to the point where they will go to somebody else for advice other than you. They will. Not a matter of if, they will. And the leadership you keep them around determines which direction they will go. I'm glad I kept my children around the right leaders so that when they did go to somebody else, they had access to wise people, not fools. My son screwed up for a while. He looked at me and I said, "Son, who do you want to talk to in America? I'll get on a plane. I'll get in the car. I will take you, fly you, drive you, whatever we've got to do. What person in this country do you want to talk to?" He told me. And within 60 seconds, I had that person on the phone because I had their number in my phone. I said, "When can we meet?" Say why? I'd rather him listen to somebody else that has good, solid wisdom than for him to be mandated to listen to me. Everybody doing all right? I just saved your children's life if you listen to me. Next, and I'll finish with this. You need to train them to have the right friends. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 7. Teenagers, you're going to hate me for this one, but I don't care. I know what I'm talking about. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 7. "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." Now, listen to this. "Whoso keepeth the law," the rules, "is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." Rule breakers need to be avoided. Now, everybody is going to break a rule from time to time. That term "keepeth the law" means those that most always keep the rules. Everybody's going to break a rule. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. That kid that's always trying to get around the rule, that should not be your friend. That should not be your friend. The word "riotous," it's used also in the New Testament in reference to the prodigal son. He wasted his substance in riotous living. Now, What is the root word for riotous? It's the word riot. It literally means loud, disorderly, loose, wild, people who create confusion, and people who constantly break rules. Parents, listen to their music. When their music teaches rebellion, anarchy, hatred, look at their video games. Their video games that are violent, anarchical, that are riotous, fighting, stealing cars, killing. Everybody doing okay? And you wonder why they won't listen to you. In other words, people who are evil need avoided. Oh, I can't believe my mom doesn't want me being friends with this person. I don't care what you believe. You don't know as much as your mom knows. Listen to your mom. Girls, if your dad says, don't be around that person, don't go around that person. Period. They may have been your best friend for years, and things may have caused things to change in their life. My daughter and I have had to sit down over the last several years. She'd say, Dad, what about? And I'd say, I don't think that's a bad person, but they're in a very evil situation and you must avoid it. But I know it doesn't look right now, but you'll thank me later. I know it hurts now, but trust me, I've had to do this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over my whole life. Just trust me. Say, I can't believe you do that. I did it. By the way, I didn't say they were bad people, but their situation has constituted evil, whether it be here or there or here or there. Somebody will say to my daughter, well, what's your email address? We'll keep up with email. I don't have one. You mean your dad's so mean you don't have one? Yeah, he's so mean she doesn't have one. Any emailing she does has to go through my account. Say why? Because I'm going to watch every word. Every word. Parents, if you have young people in your house, you ought to be going through their rooms. Every nook and cranny. Reading every note you find. Say, well, that's a violation of my rights. That's humanism and it's wrong. The only right you have is to obey, just so you know. Boy, that's good stuff. People who create division, according to the book of Romans, mark them which cause division. People who are constantly creating division, they're pulling people away. People that pull people away, listen to this statement, are creating division. The Bible says, mark them and avoid them. We taught that on our series on separation. Amen. Well, that's my friend. They may still be your friend, but you're supposed to mark them and avoid them. I'm probably going to get in trouble when I say this, but just add it to the list. Parents, when your children say, well, I'm going to go to a birthday party and so-and-so is going to lead it. Great. I have no problem with that. But you ask my daughter, the next words out of my mouth, who else is going to be there? My daughter's been invited to parties where other people were going to be there that I would not approve of, and she did not go. Now, it wasn't your party, just so you know, but... Well, so-and-so's going to be there. Who else will be there? I want to know everybody. Parents, just because a certain adult's leading it doesn't mean everybody there is going to be who you want your children around. I'm here to shout. Well, I can't believe you'd go that far. That's why I'm protecting my children. That's my job. It's my job to train them. The principles I taught tonight will help you at work. Oh, by the way, let me read two other verses to you. You don't need to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 20 says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Some of you think that training your children is so hard when they're little, and it's not easy. But you're going to give up now, and you're going to have a hard rest of your life. If you'll fight the battle now, you'll enjoy your and their adult lives. You choose. You want to fight your whole life or just for a few years? If you never taught your child to be potty trained, you'd still be changing them at 15 years old. You say, that's ridiculous. That's the way some of you are going to approach child rearing. When we take time to train these things to children, to followers, to converts, it brings joy. It's not a fun process, but it will be enjoyable when they can do it on their own. Did you catch that? It's enjoyable when they can do it on their own. If you don't train, they're going to be welfare kids and depend on you as adults and make life miserable for you. By the way, that's what your government wants you to do. That's why they want them on your insurance till they're 26. I'm glad at 18 years old, my dad said, get out of here, go to college, go do something with your life. I didn't rear you to stay, I reared you to go. Now, he didn't kick me out of the house. I had a place to go back to. But by the time I came back after my freshman year, I went back my sophomore year and never did move back home. I was home for about 4 days before I got married. I still had a curfew. I was a college graduate. I had a bachelor's degree from college. I still had a curfew. The night before I got married, I got back before curfew. Mom and dad were sitting in their room. I didn't know it. I was going to the bathroom as I got home, and their bedroom was catty-corner across the hall from the bathroom. I got 1 foot over the threshold of the bathroom, and I heard this, "Hey." And I went, "Sir?" I never did get into the bathroom. They started laughing. I said, "What are you laughing at?" He said, "Just want to know if you're still listening." I was getting married the next day. Sat down on the edge of their bed, and we had one of the sweetest talks of my life. Can I tell you something? That brought joy to them. By the way, it brought joy to me. I was glad they fought the battle and trained. By the way, it's worth it, I promise you. Let me ask you a question. Is it education only and humanism, or are you going to take time to train? I'm for education, just so you know. I'm not against educating, but education only is humanism. Let's take time to train our kids, our converts, our friends, our followers at work. These principles work in any leadership, fellowship position, I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I've talked long enough, but boy, it was important. Some of you young parents needed tonight. Some of you parents of older children and teenagers, you need tonight. There's some important points in there for some of you that work out secularly. I don't know what you needed tonight, but you sure got it.